So yeah, Escalation is live on Escalation.
Escalation is live on Escalation.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cut that out. Did I seriously just do that?
Yeah. Well, I guess that's going at the end.
Oh no. Worst part is I did the hand motions too.
Yeah. This is radio.
This is radio. It's how it works.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi table talk.
So do you have any plans for, you know, since now we've got two American hosts,
whoa.
We can talk about some American holidays that are coming up.
We can.
And what we like to do for them as far as gaming goes. So, Rick, do you plan on playing any Dead Zone or Star Saga?
I think I'm going to take Star Saga with me.
Yeah?
So we do family Thanksgiving up north with my wife's family, and there's anywhere between 60 and 100 plus people. Mm-hmm. So it's a big group. But every year we play Risk.
Okay.
Every year it's about 15 minutes after the food is scavenged. all of a sudden a Risk board shows up.
Yeah.
And it's never the same people.
Sure.
But there's always a Risk game. She's got a cousin that he's a pretty big fan of board games. And he brings all the indie board games. Yeah, I might bring Star Saga this year.
Yeah, just change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And even though this is going to be coming out like the day after Thanksgiving, because I'm probably going to be editing it over the break there.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. What about with Christmas coming up?
You know what? Christmas, I don't know. Usually when it comes to Christmas, it's pretty low-key.
Yeah.
And whatever the kids get for gifts, they kind of do their thing. And
It's
a really good nap day.
That's not a bad nap day. It's nice to
get up super early in the morning, do the Christmas presents,
mm-hmm.
Have some kind of breakfast. Usually we've done Christmas up at her parents'.
Okay.
So we'll take all the gifts and everything up there. And we'll put them all under her Christmas tree. And we have Christmas with her parents. And yeah, we go through. And then we have a breakfast of some sort. And then pretty much kid play. And we end up disappearing and taking a nap. What about you?
I'm definitely going to be bringing... I got Dead Zone and Dreadball packed up.
Yay!
It's kind of been a tradition the last couple of years where... I used to play Warhammer 40K with my younger brother. We did that for a while, and then we stopped playing as much because he got tired of getting beaten a lot because the force he had was not very well balanced, especially against Space Marines. But now I've brought Dead Zone a couple times, which he really liked because he beat me several times.
Were you playing the Rebs?
I may have been playing the Revs.
He was playing the Enforcers?
And or GCPS. He was playing Enforcers and I think Forge Fathers the other time.
Oh, gee.
So I think kind of casually getting him into the games and whatnot. I've like tried to get some of my Wisconsin friends into the different games with varying degrees of success. Not everybody has a disposable income to jump into it, but... We do. I have been trying to kind of direct folks that are in the area.
How close is Taylor to you?
That's what I was going to say. Like,
okay.
I think, is Taylor in Milwaukee?
I don't know. He's in Wisconsin.
He's in Wisconsin. So I try to, I know he's had a couple of events now, and I've tried to direct people
that are into
mini games his way. I know he's really into the Walking Dead.
Walking Dead. But actually, he contacted me earlier this week.
Oh, yeah?
Talking about Dead Zone scenery.
Oh, sweet.
On whether you build it all together and then glue it into place, or if you leave it unglued and build it as you play.
Yeah.
How do you have most of your scenery?
Between both states. with a bunch of my like pieces that are put together in various states of disrepair. I need to paint a lot of that. I'm not great at painting things in general, like getting them done. And so,
yeah, but once you get them done, they look good.
Once you get them done, they look decent. Mine look decent.
It's a little different painting scenery than Miles.
It is.
Because you don't have that same, like, excitement, I guess.
Mm.
At least for myself.
Yeah.
When I'm painting a model, I get really excited with that piece. Like, I started painting the spider droid.
Yeah.
Super excited about that. I'm painting a piece of scenery, and I'm like, yay. looks all right.
It's something where I really want to kind of have that like extra personalized and really kind of neat and chic. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is.
Or like the little posters, like John Jack.
Yeah, I just want to plaster posters and signs and like storefront windows and stuff.
Was it last year that somebody over in the UK, they had the lights?
Oh, yeah, I think
so. They had the lights with the signs and just that whole spread on their scenery. I'd love to be able to do that. I'm not that handy yet.
Yeah. Yet. Yet is the key word. But we should probably dive into the main part of the show.
Yeah, probably.
Because our little brief intro turned into us talking for about 10 minutes.
So, intro. You're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast 2.0.
Yes.
That's our intro?
You are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast 2.0.
With Brian and Rick.
With Brian and Rick. Or Rick and Brian.
Rick and Brian, Brian and Rick. B&R.
B&R Radio.
I told you we're not going soul.
Not to be confused with R&B Radio.
As you do the WKRP thing and
put on the headset here.
We're live out of Cincinnati.
Yeah. Hello. Welcome again to NPR.
And it's Thanksgiving, so all I've got is the turkey episode going through my head.
But we've got a couple of things to talk about today.
Yes, we do.
So let's keep things rolling on through. So let's start with some Dead Zone stuff. Now, we were talking a little bit off mic about some latest updates, but one of the big ones that I think a lot of people are going to be really happy about is that the rule set and army lists for Escalation are now on Battlescribe.
Yes, they are. In fact, I was just playing with it the other day.
Yes, it's so nice to have that like a nice solid army builder back in the mix.
I mean, I could handle the spreadsheet. It didn't bother me that much, really. I love Battlescribe because I have it on my phone. So when I'm at break at work or something, I can start making a list.
Oh yeah,
I never thought about using that kind of thing.
Agreed, 100%. Like it's really handy. It's like, oh, I'm just on a lunch break. I haven't even played with a lot of the new Escalation list stuff, even for like my favorite Rebs.
So until it's funny. Now. So I started messing around with it, and I had to check the rule book. Because I didn't realize, since we did this whole switch up and I'm going Maze on Labs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was looking at the leaders and I clicked on the leader, Dr. Octopus Dude. I can never say his name correctly.
Yeah.
So he's the octopus guy. He can take small arms.
Yeah.
So I don't have to take the loadout that he comes with. I didn't realize that because, I never look at Maze on Labs.
Right. Until now.
So now I'm like, ooh, I can take rapid fire.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can take a shotgun and keep people away.
Yeah.
Yeah, Battlescribe is a great tool.
Yeah.
It's one of probably the most used tools I've used for Dead Zone by far.
Yeah. There's been a handful of them out there throughout the years at various stages of updating. A lot of it is community driven.
Yeah.
In that respect. And so, you know, mad props to those that are working on those kind of tools. The communities loves them. Like
they do. And the great thing is there's that donation part on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if it's 50 cents, I mean, any kind of donation people get due to the guys that make things like Battlescribe. that just keeps it going for our community.
Mm-hmm.
So we can continue using those tools.
Yeah. And so we here at Dead Zone Podcast encourage our friends and listeners to hit that donation button for these Army Builder tools. That donation can go a long way to making sure those people keep things up to date.
Yeah, definitely. So what else do we got going on with Dead Zone?
Well, in the UK, there was an interesting development from some friends across the sea there.
Yes, Andrew Sharp.
Yeah.
So Andrew Sharp, he told me it was a kind of a personal pet project for him.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Dead Zone XL.
Dead Zone XL.
So take the grid away.
Yeah.
You're using tape measures, but you're using a lot of the same stats from the regular Dead Zone, but it adds in the vehicles. We haven't had a chance to sit down and play it. I've started to flip through a little bit of it, but, mm-hmm. you know, holiday season.
Yeah.
We're all over the place. One of the things that it made me realize is there are so many different ways to play Dead Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to try out some of these ways. We're definitely going to try out the XL.
Mm-hmm.
But Rob and Jack,
yep.
I'm not really sure what episode it was.
We will find this episode and include it in the show notes.
Yeah, definitely link it in the show notes. They did, I want to say it was like 1,000 points.
Mm.
They have pictures of it. They did it on an entire kitchen table. Their scenery was all over the place. And I think they did it as units.
Yeah.
So like three or four guys as a unit would move at a time,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was a really cool way to do it. You also have, Escalation. 300-point games. It's not a tournament-based way to play the game.
No.
But it's a completely different way to play the game.
Yeah.
Which Escalation gave us that.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us...
Interactive scenery.
Hacking.
Hacking's been fun.
Yes. And then the deck.
Yep.
Which, our last game, we used the deck.
Yep.
It kind of changes the way you play, doesn't it?
It does. Like, it's kind of like the same way, like, a campaign or a league game can kind of affect your play style based on these other objectives that you have, whether it's keeping guys alive
or pushing that guy out in the middle and say, hey, shoot
this guy.
I can't believe you didn't shoot him the first time.
I can. Well. My dice don't like me.
You didn't even take the shot, though, the first time.
I know.
I put him out there on a ledge. He's clear as day. And you're like, oh, I'm going to go after that guy.
I'm going to go after the L guy.
I'm holding that card going.
So you also kind of have to play your opponent then.
Yes.
Against their better nature, maybe.
Definitely. So what other ways have you thought about playing Dead Zone?
Well, I do like the idea of the bigger maps. I really want to do an interior. We always have these kind of blasted out buildings.
Yeah.
And I've always loved the idea of like a down and out like street fight.
Yep.
And there's a couple of people working on some similar projects to that.
Yeah,
we've got some
are.
Great scenery coming out from friends of the show.
Yes. And also after this piece we'll talk about, there's actually we've got some stuff to show these guys.
Yeah.
On that. So it's funny. So some of the ways that I've played Dead Zone differently with my kids, I built a full what was it? Not styrofoam.
Poster board.
Built this big cargo ship.
Yeah.
And we ran multiple scenarios with all three of us playing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Rachel and her plague. I'm the enforcers that have captured the plague. So they're down in the cargo hold, captured in these boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And this group of marauders invades the ship.
Yeah.
So Levi's playing as marauders. And we play this three battle where we're on two different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ship had multiple parts. And we had both parts set next to each other so we could see what was going on. But, Rachel's biding her time and slowly beating up at these cages. And Levi's rushing in. So we did this. See, Levi is 10. So it was probably like 8.
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago. I remember.
Yeah. It's funny because the first thing he did is went straight for the cockpit.
Yeah.
He blasts through all of my pilots. And he puts a guy in the cockpit, and the first thing he says is to me, can I change the direction of the ship? cool. So he took it to the Marauder home planet or home base or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What he had called it. But that was it's not on the 2x2 map.
Right.
Because that ship was not quite 2x2.
It was a little bit bigger, right? Definitely. It was longer. Long. Yeah.
Another way that we've played, we did that campaign.
The campaign's
for Outbreak.
Yes.
Just before Outbreak? Or was it Outbreak?
It was leading up to Outbreak, I think, because it was the summer before it launched.
And we ended that campaign on a 6x4 table with...
Six of us?
Six of us.
Yeah.
Six of us, all with our own 200-point army. I think we got to the end of turn two.
Yeah.
After 4 hours.
Yeah.
With a
couple of alliances getting together.
Oh, there was totally some alliances.
And everyone turned on the revs.
But that's one of the things I love about Dead Zone is you have these different ways of playing.
Mm-hmm.
And with different ways of playing, you come up with different ideas, like building a ship.
Yeah.
What I noticed was last year at Adeptcon, you bought some scenery.
Mm-hmm.
That's not quite Dead Zone.
Yeah.
But you were telling me you were going to do something to it.
Yeah, it was, I believe it was from Death Ray Studios, I think was the one.
Okay.
They had a lot of MDF, like cyberpunk stuff. But
which kind of fits perfect for Dead Zone.
Oh, yeah. And
your revs.
And my revs. But the big part of it was they kind of have these like module square blocks that kind of serve as a main unit, and then they hook stuff onto the sides to build it out, so you can like swap scenery all around on this thing. The one I've got is it's got like a little sushi bar that hooks onto the side and a couple other, like, I can put a platform on there. It's just a little bit bigger than the cubes, but in the grand scheme of things, if I draw where the lines should be to kind of set where cubes are within the space,
then
it's just overflow. And it's scenery within another cube.
Yeah, definitely.
But it really, you know, kind of adds a little more of unique flavor to that world. Like, I always like the idea of playing in spaces that aren't completely destroyed yet.
Yeah. I love Mantic scenery.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way it's built and what you can
do.
And it's funny because I'm sitting here and we're looking at...
You got a bunch of it laid out.
A ruined scenery piece.
Mm-hmm.
But then you bring that up, and you have, like, that's an actual building. There's so many different ways to play the game, mm-hmm. not only through scenarios, but with the scenery. Mm-hmm. It creates a completely different game. And you have some of it.
Yeah.
I have a ton of it.
Yeah.
So I've had a fortunate endeavor with Uncertain Scenery.
Mm-hmm.
I've bought so much of his stuff, but it's so cool the things you can do with that scenery.
Oh, it really is.
You have the multiple levels. His
so folks that are unfamiliar with Uncertain Scenery, it basically, like, he's got this MDF cut, very sophisticatedly engineered.
Very engineered.
Like set pieces you can get. And he actually does have a set of them that are all cubed up for Dead Zone.
And the cool thing is, he's got the small squares on him, mm-hmm. so you can use them with Star Saga as well.
Yeah.
but yeah, he's got the 4 square sections for it, but he's also got a satellite tower
mm-hmm.
with a huge satellite.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, that's not one I have yet.
Yet.
But that's just something to make your table look amazing.
Yeah.
But he does these, like, watchtowers.
Mm-hmm.
And he has these ramps that actually connect to Mantic's Dead Zone scenery.
Yeah.
So you can build this whole completely different view.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we were talking about it before when we first started doing this. With the amount of scenery that I have with the Uncertain scenery and with what you have, we could totally fill this entire
4x8
table.
Which would be a heck of a Dead Zone game. But
so
it would be a blast to do.
Would it be you on this side and me on this side? Or do we do it the long way? And actually go way after each other?
A little bit.
I kind of like this.
I kind of like the long way. That said, like, it might take us a few turns to get to one of those.
Yeah. So speaking of Uncertain scenery, mm-hmm. I was actually... luckily enough, talking to Craig earlier, he's got more stuff coming for the 28 millimeter scenery.
That's exciting stuff.
Roadways.
Ooh.
So he does 15 millimeter.
Mm-hmm.
He does 28 millimeter sci-fi.
Yep.
And he's starting to go into fantasy as well.
Mm-hmm.
But his 15 millimeter stuff is all roadways.
Yeah.
And like that underground road.
Like ramps down and stuff like that. Yeah. Overpasses.
He's bringing that to the 28 millimeter. So we'll have actual roadways we can put out here for Dead Zone.
That's cool.
The idea of the robot fight. Two striders running each other down these ramps and at each other. It's totally robot jocks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so cool. But yeah, so obviously there's a lot of great ways you can play a lot of these Mantic games.
Yes.
A lot of what I would call emergent play. So it's like letting people really embrace their own creativity to come up with scenarios and worlds and just unique spaces and mechanics to mess around with. And the community is really open to embracing those things, which is awesome.
And the great thing is they share it with us.
Yeah.
You see this stuff on the Facebook groups all the time. In fact, I think after the break real quick, I've got the perfect one to show us when we go to the next segment.
Speaking of different play styles, we wanted to start on a unit highlight section that we kind of teased in the first episode.
Yeah, okay, so there's what, 12 factions? 16 factions?
There's a couple of them.
There's 12, 14, something.
Growing.
You got the Volt Chasers, so they're almost like a sub-faction.
The sub-factions.
With all these factions, who do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the Reb Commander, the original main leader of the Rebs forces. Go Rebs!
Go home, Rebs, you're drunk. Because we've been playing so much together over the last few years, I never bothered really jumping in and looking at the Rebs as a faction. Because I knew you enjoyed them, so it was like, hey, whatever. I mean, I would look at some of like the Teratons and stuff and just to get an idea of what I had to kill.
It's good to know your enemy.
Yeah. But you know, I never really like dove in and looked at the Reb Commander. So she's movement 1-2, which is pretty stationary.
Mm.
No armor, which kind of a Reb
pretty
thing.
Standard.
One size one. Big surprise. She shoots on a 3.
Mm.
Let me say that again. She shoots on a 3.
She shoots on a 3.
Fights on a 5. Survives on a 5.
Mm-hmm.
She's a tactician 2. Her recon is 4. She comes loaded with a long rifle.
Yeah.
Which has a range 8.
Yeah.
So back this up just a second for myself. She shoots on a 3 and she has a range 8 gun to start.
Yep.
I'm sold on her on that alone.
Yeah. And that's like a lot of people kind of go back and forth on their different leaders. There's a lot of different options. Some of them are more combat focused and some are more ability focused.
Yeah.
And so the Reb leader is definitely one that I started out playing. I know a lot of people like to go to the Yindage commander.
Yeah.
Especially in the early days. The early days, way back when. Yeah. But I was always sold on the Reb Commander.
Okay, so the next thing we have is we have her splat ability.
Mm-hmm.
Always short. You can spend an army special result on your command dice to place a new random item face down in an unoccupied cube that is adjacent to the active model. This does not count as an action. She's 28 points, 3 victory points. She's kind of right in there in the middle on leaders with the 28 points. I can see some people would say that's high for her ability.
Yeah.
For her splat. Because that splat is very... Well, it's almost situational. Because if you're not playing with items, it's kind of wasted.
Yeah.
But she shoots on a 3 and starts the range 8 weapon. I'll take that trade-off.
Yeah, I think it's a great starting point. And we're talking also the tactician getting getting two extra command dice is huge, especially for, you know, if you're trying to harvest like a lot of shoot dice, which is great for rebs.
Yep.
Hopefully getting to reroll a lot of fight dice because they're less useful. But it really opens up a whole lot more options as far as tactics. And then also with that high recon, odds are you might be going first more often than not, or at least being able to decide when you want to take your turn. That can really change, you know, first turn advantage, and then you have, say, an extra activation.
Well, I mean, you look at my favorite leader for the Marauder. Mm-hmm. I always take the same one. I always take the commander, and he's got TAC 2.
Yep.
It's that TAC 2 Recon 4.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
For setting up, like you were saying, it's setting up whether you want to go first or second.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a little bit more control over deployment.
Yeah.
The other thing that I love about that is it's a tease.
Mm-hmm.
You run your guy out there, and you drop that item right in front of him.
Yeah.
Right in front of your opponent. You know I'm going to look.
I gotta know. You gotta.
You just got it. It's kind of like that big red shiny button.
Yep.
Press the button.
I gotta press the button.
So yeah, I'm going to go check into that, and it puts me in line of sight for one of your guys that you've already set up.
And that is something that you can really kind of play with your opponent against them. You can really, you know, if you sell it, that it's like, oh, you just kind of made a mistake. You didn't realize that guy was right there.
So that's how you do that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I'll remember that next time we play.
Oh, yeah. And I obviously, if you're playing a mission with where items are important, like Scour.
Oh, God.
Oh,
that's amazing in Scour.
You take, you got your Reb Commander, and maybe just bring a Z along with you.
One or two Zs. Well, they're
or, hey,
6 points.
Even a survey drone is kind of handy to just kind of swoop in, scoop everything up. A Z and a survey drone with a Reb Commander on a Scour mission?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
As much as I don't play Rebs, and probably won't really. I mean, let's be honest.
I mean, that's fair.
It's probably one of those factions that I have some Reb models, but it's kind of your baby.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that it's always going to be your baby, regardless if you play Marauders or not. Because, well, the Marauders created the Rebs.
I love that fluff.
Yeah. But she's a really good leader. And there's definitely some tactics there that I don't think, when people are first glancing through these, they don't look for those combos. They're looking for... They're looking for the stats. They're doing the min-max kind of thing.
Yeah. Or they're focusing like on the splat. Where if it doesn't... I mean, it does kind of have to be a strategy you got to be comfortable playing.
Yeah.
Doing, you know, working a lot with items. Because say, you know, it's another thing too is that you can use that to supplement your army where you don't have to spend as many points on getting items to equip your crew.
That's true.
You can save that up for people. You know, the more bodies a Reb Force has, the better.
You also look at the different item stats now.
Yeah.
Because it's not just the plain old stats.
Mm-hmm. With the escalation update, we've got a whole lot more of different item
types of items.
Type sets you can play with and change things up.
So you essentially have four ways to do items. And obviously all four have the booby traps.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at what the Rebs have, you got your combat heavy guys.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're using an alternative 2 or 3, I mean, you've got the combat blades.
Which can get crazy with some Sorak sword spots.
Oh, yeah. Plus your frag grenades, plus ammo. I mean, there's enough in here. Yeah. I'm a fan of her.
Yeah.
As much as I don't.
I do hope people, like, come back and check her out, because with the Rebs forces, we did have a couple new leaders that are...
You got two of them, didn't you?
Arguably really good. You've got the Cell Leader and the Stagio...
Silverback. Yeah.
Who are both, you know, very different mechanically, but, like, are also really solid options.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I do feel like sometimes the you know, tried and true Reb Commander gets a little passed up because of that higher point cost.
She's not the new shiny either.
She's not the new shiny. But I always liked I like the figure too. Like it was one of those where, you know, there aren't as many female models in the line. Or in some of these games in general. Yeah. So the Rebs faction to me was all about that diversity. So
diversity with the Rebs.
So that was something just like I really liked about the setup of it. But and the fact that you can equip her with a sniper rifle, which is now cheaper in escalation.
That's at true. 12 points. 12 points, so that puts her at
40.
40 points.
Which is a little pricey for a sniper, sure. But it's the Reb sniper rifle, which means you can move
and
shoot.
You can move and shoot, which is
and you're ridiculous. Shooting on threes with extra dice. I mean, you could also just put a hollow sight on it. Then it's a range 8 with an extra dice, no matter what. So a lot you can really do with her. That I hope people, you know, once we kind of play with the new shinies quite a bit more, you know, come back and take a look at her. I think a lot of people could find something that they like if they enjoy playing as the Rebs. And that's something I think we both kind of encourage a lot with.
Go outside the box with your list.
Oh, yeah. Go outside the box with your list. I can't tell you how much fun it was when I finally, like, said, you know what? I'm gonna take a medic. I'm going to take the survey drone.
Your survey drone. I love your survey drone. The whole survey drone with a riot shield?
Yeah. Survey drones can take items. Like,
yes.
They don't have beast. So a little survey drone just hauling around this big, you know, metal plate to moving at a 2-3. But that's a future unit highlight, I think.
Yes.
To kind of wrap on the Reb Commander, you've got some really solid combat stats. Her splat or her tactician bonus and her recon can really give you that extra strategic edge in your playstyle. And that splat, while kind of strange to kind of figure out how to really capitalize on at first, once you get into the hang of things, you can really see how you can you know, make it both benefit your force and potentially trip up your opponent.
Yeah. It's funny, too, because you take a character like the Reb Commander. She's 28 points. So she's mid-range, really, on your leaders anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to go heavy shooting,
mm-hmm.
she's mid-range and she's got... Let me rephrase this.
She's long range.
She shoots on a 3! Sorry, I'm stuck on this.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's a great asset to a long-range shooting team.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, she's a great asset to a melee team.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're throwing out items.
Yeah.
Some of those items could be med packs.
Yeah. Which can really come in handy.
And I think the big thing that I like about the Reb Commander is it forces you to look at playing a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you have tournaments. We've had plenty of tournaments. You have Adepticon. Coach has his tournament out there. Shane has mm-hmm. his tournament down in Texas. John Jack has tournament scene going on. Obviously, the UK has some tournament scenes going on with Andrew Sharp and all of them over there.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have these tournament lists.
Mm-hmm.
I challenge some of our listeners that are set in their ways. Step outside of the box. Take a commander. Take a Reb Commander and see what you can do with her.
And that's kind of... a good way to do it is just you pick one unit that you're set on taking.
Yeah.
And then start building around that.
And don't be stuck in one way, though.
Yeah.
So if she doesn't work for you with a shooting team, try a melee team. Try and change it up and use both.
Mm-hmm. Try and pick a team where you're chucking grenades at people all the time.
Or not. I hate grenades.
Take a bunch of Sorax with you so you're just blasting people and knocking them down. and then you teleport in Teratons and or the new monkey guys and make their day miserable.
Oh god.
So like it's great. There's a whole lot of
it is.
It's a brave new world.
Yeah, so it brings out the question. So we talked about doing it as a unit spotlight.
Hmm.
Do you want to continue doing it as a unit spotlight, or should we do it as a faction spotlight?
I still kind of like doing the unit one because, factions, there's a lot of great resources out there for factions. Yeah, our friends over at Family of Gamers 777.
Team building exercise.
The team building exercise.
Award-winning.
Team building exercise. My apologies. award-winning team building exercises are really solid. Like they do really good in-depth explanation of like why they made their picks and their decisions.
And also why they didn't take something.
And why they didn't take something. So that's where like what I kind of like to do, and listeners feel free to chime in and what you guys would like. But I really like the idea of going to those units that maybe they didn't pick.
Yeah.
Or people say you can't, you know, this is a useless unit. You can't play it in this other way. And just really kind of, you know, taking a lens at that and say, okay, well, you know, what is that unit useful for? Because it's...
That's true.
If it's survived all the way to escalation, it's had some really... it's had some good passes to it. Like yeah. They're... escalation has been a great, another really solid upgrade to the game system, and I feel like it's just going to continue to improve from here. So, like units that you continue to see in there, I think are really, you know, that they have some kind of value, and so that's what I'd like to kind of pull out of this section.
I can handle that. So what do we do? Do we flip through the book and pick the next one?
Well, I think
or do we want to stay with leaders?
This week I got to pick. We can maybe do kind of this first round, maybe going through a leader per faction kind of thing. Rick,
so we're gonna pick the faction right now. I'm gonna thumb through it.
And all right.
Whatever faction my thumb stops on, we're gonna do it this way. So
yeah, so you can't see.
Nobody can see it.
Yeah.
Whatever faction it starts
on. No one can see it on this radio show.
I'm so intently holding this, like, you can't see this.
Maison Labs, you don't say.
Well, okay.
So, next time on our unit spotlight, we'll be picking one of the two leaders out of Maison Labs to kind of look through.
You know what? I say we go with Guard Commander Graves.
Guard Commander Graves.
Yes. And the reason why I say that is, well, we'll get to that when we start talking about some of the hobby stuff we've done, because I'm not using him.
Yep.
And I didn't even read him.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, so next time we'll be looking at Guard Commander Graves for the unit spotlight section.
Sounds good to me. So, welcome back. So, next thing we got going on is what?
Well, we'd like to do kind of our hobby highlight section.
Oh, yeah, because we like
the hobby highlight.
Mix things up.
Yeah. So we did the unit spotlight. Now we have the hobby highlight.
Hobby highlight. So, what have you been working on lately?
Well, I've now that Battlescribe has been updated, I've actually started playing around with the Rebs list again.
Nice.
As I kind of mentioned earlier, I hadn't had much chance to really look at the new options that they got, but I knew they had a lot, and so that was something that I kind of finally started doing.
Yeah.
A friend of the show, Jeff Burbage, had asked me to kind of help him put together a list. He likes to change up the faction does every single game.
He's making a list for Adeptcon. He's gonna play Rebs.
He's gonna play Adeptcon. Rebs. Which is
still yelling at me for 150 points.
So maybe I will finally change the faction that I bring to Adepticon.
Rebs are represented.
As long as Rebs are represented, that's always been my through line. So, of course, now that I'm actually playing with their list, I'm like, oh, this will be really fun. So that's been a big part of what I've been working on, but, I've been exploring. We did some minis for the Star Saga.
Yes, we did.
That was what we were doing.
That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun putting that together.
So what model did you use?
So I used an Infinity model from the Hagaslam fashion. I apologize. I don't.
Yeah.
I have one friend. Well, I've got a couple of friends that play Infinity, but only one that's really pronounced that name at me.
Yeah.
But I've always liked, they're kind of like desert themed.
Yeah.
And so they have long coats on and stuff like that. Very Rebs aesthetic. And so I fashioned my guy up with a couple of Rin blade, like sword arms, to make him basically a four-armed wielder of blades and guns.
Melee beast.
Melee beast that guy is. And yeah, so painted him up with a kind of a blue color scheme to themed him after a hero of mine, if you will, from a little known show called Red versus Blue.
Yep.
He is my caboose.
Which is really funny that the whole trademark Red versus Blue.
Yes, yes. Don't.
But
don't
you
shoot.
Went blue.
Yeah.
And so for mine, I made a cipher. And
Sphere?
Yeah, cipher. See, I screw up names too.
Oh, it's all good.
I did the same thing. I took an Infinity model and I took one of the Highland models. So I have that the kilt and
mm-hmm.
that Scottish look, but I wanted kind of a Scottish fish. I'm not going to even try and do an accent.
Scottish shark.
Yeah, exactly. But I went red.
Yeah.
Like, all the skin is red. And I just thought it was kind of funny that we went the red and blue.
Yeah, yeah. It just turned out that way. It's red versus red.
Those were a lot of fun.
Blue versus blue.
Like, the whole character creation process in Star Saga?
Mm-hmm.
Which...
We'll get to in a little bit later section.
We're doing that ramble on thing like we do.
Yeah.
So what else have you been doing for hobby time?
Apart from that, I've been really busy, so haven't done as much extra stuff beyond that. I do have another announcement in like the Dreadball section. We'll be talking about a few things we've done there. But yeah, so with that, I know we've kind of been looking around the community,
oh,
but
yeah,
I wanted
some amazing stuff that I've seen online.
I wanted to see what have you been doing for hobby stuff these days?
So, two models right now that I've been working on a lot was the one, the mm-hmm. Star Saga, my sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Is that better?
I like it. To be fair, it's just text. Like, it's written. There's no
yep.
Like. Pronunciation on written text on made up words is fun.
But I've also been working on, because I decided to go Maison Labs, and I'm going mm-hmm. full heavy on this Maison Labs. I started working on a Krastivore. Did I say that one right?
I have no idea.
Okay, sounds good.
Sure.
It looks right.
Yeah. We'll allow it.
So I started working on the Krastivore.
It's the big spider robot.
Spider robot.
Like in Wild Wild West.
Yep. Just like that. So while painting him, I started talking to you, and I did it again. I have a whole theme that I want to do for my Maison Labs. So I need to find some spider parts.
Yep.
So for myself, that's pretty much what I've been doing. I've been doing a little painting and some stuff in some other games.
Mm-hmm.
And having a lot of fun trying new techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, when they're doing their hobby time, think about ways of painting differently. So I've talked to Jeff. I've talked to George. George is one of our local players.
Mm-hmm.
That is an amazing painter, and he's won pretty much every painting competition in tournaments that we've played in.
Oh, yeah. He does amazing stuff. I actually, speaking of a Reb Commander... when I got the Kickstarter exclusive, the kneeling pose,
yeah.
I commissioned George to do the paint job on it because I'm like, I can't do this justice, but he could.
Yeah.
And he did. Oh, man. I love that.
Oh, yeah. That's gorgeous.
It doesn't get out as much anymore because I don't want to ruin that paint job. It looks so good.
Yeah. But also, like, Matt over at Hobby Knockout.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking to these guys a lot about painting and trying new techniques, learning new techniques on how to paint. One of the small things I picked up was how you prime.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a zenithal priming. I probably, once again, butchered that too. But that's not the point. So what you do is you take like a gray, just mm-hmm. a regular gray primer, and you prime the whole model in the gray.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's done, you take a white primer.
Okay.
And go from like about 12 inches above it and just kind of spritz it a little bit. And then go to the side and spritz it again.
Mm-hmm.
All the way around it. And what it does is it gives you a natural highlight.
Yeah.
So for those of us that aren't very good at the Jeff and George highlighting, and as long as you're watering down your paints, it's going to give that natural shadow look yeah. underneath and the lighter color on top.
Kind of gives it the natural dark and
yeah.
areas in the underneath. Recesses. And yep, yeah. yep. It looks like even just doing that yes. as a priming thing, they look really good.
It's a great way for us amateurs to have some really good quality mm-hmm. tabletop finished models.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things I actually wanted to bring up with Hobby Time was little tricks that I've learned, at least.
Oh, yeah.
From all these guys that are definitely far better than I'll ever be. But that's what I love about this hobby is people are willing to give you this knowledge and mm-hmm. show you new techniques. It's funny, I was talking to George, he was talking, I sent him a picture of a model
mm-hmm.
that I was trying to figure out how to do the highlights on. Take a black and white picture of your model. Look at it in a black and white, and it actually shows you where your highlights are supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
but I want to give our listeners little tips
yeah.
and tricks. So if you have a tip and want to send it to us... It's funny, I look at the screen like I'm talking to somebody.
They're out there, Rick.
They're out there, I promise.
They believe in us, and we believe in you, listeners.
And it's just like the gaming. Mm-hmm. It's just like the scenarios. If you found a really cool technique that you want to try, that you think is good because you've tried it,
mm-hmm.
shoot it at us. Yeah. I'm more than happy to learn some new way of painting that makes it maybe even easier.
Yeah, and like I really like those tips that like we get from George and those guys where like it's less intimidating that way yeah. where it's like it's little things that you can do to kind of get that next step without, you know, I was about to say investing in an airbrush, which I haven't done yet.
And but, I did. And I love it. Yeah. I'm still nowhere near.
And I'm not knocking people that do, but that's a big step.
It is.
And you kind of have to kind of reach that level of
confidence. And it's a whole different way of painting, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like I was going right back to the beginning of my painting when I got the airbrush, because I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm doing.
But I like those tips and tricks that just kind of help you improve little by little.
Yeah.
And can really kind of give you that confidence to try things that are a little maybe a little bit more complicated.
Or outside of your box.
Yeah.
Going that extra step. I think it really... It increases our hobby as mm-hmm. a whole. So one of the other things that I was looking at through this whole hobby time, because of how we want to set it up.
Mm-hmm.
So his name's Patrick Wilson
mm-hmm.
over on the Dead Zone Fanatic site. So this kind of goes into the beginning of what we were talking about mm-hmm. alternate ways to play.
Yeah.
But also it's a hobby because he built this.
Mm-hmm.
So he built up, and there's a story along to it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go ahead and read through all that. Definitely check it out and read it. But he tells you a story, which makes it even better. But like we were talking about, inside of a building.
Mm-hmm.
He did this whole layout, and I think a lot of it's like 3D printed, maybe?
I think so. It looks like it.
But it's all cubed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this whole, I don't know, it's almost the inside of like a warehouse or something.
Or a hangar bay or something like that. A lab.
But there's this like the small entrance. So mm-hmm. these Veerman hat. I think that's Veerman. Yeah. That's
yeah.
They're like cornered into this. And I'm doing it again. I really talk with my hands a lot, don't I?
You do talk with your hands a lot. I'm just really impressed you haven't hit the microphone yet. Good job.
Well, I learned from a podcast.
Yeah.
From our friends over at Hobby Podcast that I talk a lot with my hands, so I like pay attention to what's around me now.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love what he did. I mean, even the painting on the scenery.
Oh, it looks fantastic.
It looks like it should be in the Star Saga box.
Yeah.
But this is a Dead Zone game, which it's that, again, it's that, the combination of these games, bringing them together.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to give him a shout out for some amazing scenery, some amazing board, and it looks like a great scenario.
Yeah. It's really exciting stuff, and we'll see if we can link it in the show notes or share a couple pictures.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's really cool stuff. Similarly, you know, last time when I was looking through the Fanatics page, I came across a gentleman by the name of Margin, and I apologize in advance. I feel like I'm butchering your name, so I apologize for that. But he had a really unique color scheme for his Enforcers, is that he went with this kind of hot pink, which he called the Pink Police and Power. But it was
they look
really
amazing.
They look fantastic. It was really different to see. You know, a lot of people do the Enforcers as kind of their kind of standard gray ceramic kind of look, which is, you know, nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
So it's really cool to see ones that have this really vibrant color to them. And they look awesome. And I'll share a couple of those pictures in the show notes. Definitely. As well. So, yeah. And then there is one more thing, a project that another guy out there is working on. Might not be quite ready for prime time yet.
No, but it's not. So there's a guy over on the Star Saga Fanatics page that started to work on a mission generator, a randomized mission generator, which I talked to him. He wants to, it's not ready to be released.
Sure, yet. Sure.
So when he releases that, we're definitely going to go through that and show you how that works. But it also led to another post about playing against the Nexus in Star Saga.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of building the whole map out, you could do it like, I don't know what the game was, but it's a deck of cards.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go into that first corridor and you open that door, you flip the card and it shows you the next part of the map. And you build just that. I really hope someone actually is far more talented than I am, goes through and actually does that.
Yeah.
Because not only does that make it a little bit easier to immerse yourself, because you're not bothering them with that part of the scenario book.
Mm-hmm.
You're just flipping that card. But it also, you can shuffle it up.
Yeah.
Again, it's a completely different way to play. But from a hobby side, these projects are awesome for the community.
Oh yeah, it's like we were saying earlier in the show, like those different ways to play, and the community creativity that's out there is one thing I just love about the Mantic games that we're part of. There's just folks that really have awesome ideas, and in a lot of cases, the ability and technique to make them something that you can share with the rest of us.
You know, it's funny. So our next part, we're going to take a break here shortly and go into a Dreadball, but I got to tell you guys, for those that are listening, it's funny. Brian and I have known each other for 4 years now. We were at a demo this past weekend.
Yep.
And we were talking about it, and all the dates lined up to this is kind of our anniversary of the first demo I did for you.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I'm hoping the podcast shows is our excitement. Because it's funny, because it's almost like both of us are these little kids. We're sitting next to the mic and we're kind of getting excited for this stuff.
And it's like, now we want to play, but we have to finish the show.
Yeah. But anyways, sorry about that. Trailed off again. We'll be right back, and then we're going to start talking about some Dreadball, right?
Yep.
All right. We'll see you guys in a minute. Hey, we're back.
We're back. Man, it feels like it's been a while.
You don't know how tempted it was to say, screw it, let's play a game.
Let's play a game. And come back next week. But no, time to start talking about what's going on in the pitch.
Dreadball.
Dreadball. Burr, burr.
So, we have a little league.
Yep.
And we played last week.
Well, we played a while ago. It was a couple weeks ago. Time really flies here.
Yeah. Had our game.
We had our game. So it was the second game of our league.
Yep.
Where it was Rick and I played against each other.
Yeah, big surprise. So it was the
Rebs.
Yeah.
Versus
the Zors.
The Zizors.
My Fighting Bees.
The Fighting Bees.
Yes.
Versus the Twin Star Renegades.
Drones suck. Man, you took me on a landslide.
Well, no, it wasn't a landslide. It was close, but oh boy. Oh boy.
So I really think you ought to bench that guy.
So my captain. Captain.
Oh, captain, dropped the ball.
Dropped the ball like five times.
Five times you dropped the ball. And on the flip side, I dropped the ball like three or four times. So, it was a crazy game to begin with, but your captain.
To set the stage, I've got like three other guys, two of which are better at throwing than my captain. All down. We're all sitting down at Rick's three-point, the back strike zone. And yeah, and I literally have the captains like right there. It's like, okay. My guys like softball throw it to him. It's like, all right, here you go. You just have to make the throw.
It was like three. You were like three hexes away.
Yeah.
Or was it two?
It was three or two. Like, it was a short range pass. I had it so he didn't move. And it's just like, minus the small target then. And
he dropped the ball. But when you drop the ball, it bounced back and forth.
It kept bouncing back. But yeah. So it's like with Dreadball, for those that you don't, maybe haven't tried it yet. Like sixes explode and stuff. But another mechanic that it has is you also have cards. And what you can do is you can re-roll dice by discarding cards, and some other mechanics let you re-roll dice.
Yep.
Every time, like I needed fours or something like that. It was not an insurmountable number to get on a six-sided dice.
Apparently it was.
I burned through so many cards and so many dice. Yeah. I just couldn't get the last 3 points that I needed to landslide.
Yeah. Yeah. I it's funny too, because like in that game, like the first two
went back and forth the first couple of scores.
Yeah, it was real quick back and forth, and then it was like a stalemate
for a good chunk of the game. Yeah.
Until that,
there was like one rush then that I managed to sink and get ahead. And then it was like, okay, I just need this last score. And like, it took me like the last four of my rushes to try and sink the last set of points that I needed with this one guy. Like, it became a thing.
It really did too.
And a big part of that was because it's League, right?
Yep.
I want him to level up. I want to get him some points so he can improve. And one of the things you can get points for is scoring.
Yep.
And it's kind of like, the only thing I really expect that guy to be able to do.
He couldn't, no matter how hard he tried. But, which, you know, which is really cool, the whole league progression.
Mm-hmm.
So, the first game I played, I got, that one was a landslide.
Yeah.
Dom completely landslided me, and it was like, oh, yeah, okay. So, we're finishing up that, and everybody's collecting their money.
Mm-hmm.
And their XP, and they're checking their XP and their leveling stuff. I had nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody leveled for me in the first one. But that second game, I had a couple guys that actually leveled up.
Yeah.
And I like the level system.
Mm-hmm.
So you could potentially get stat bumps.
Mm-hmm.
Or drops, I guess.
It's mostly bumps unless you get injuries.
Yeah.
Injuries are where you get the decrease.
Yeah. But you could also do a randomized thing.
The random
you roll on the chart.
Randomizing is so much fun.
Yeah, I'm not really sure I'm gonna keep doing that.
Or you can pick, but yeah, it's a fun time, to be sure. Some of the tables don't always make a lot of sense. Like,
yeah, didn't I get agility for my guard?
I think your guard could get a skill up.
Yeah.
And for those that are unfamiliar, guards can't handle the ball, which is what the skill stat is used for. So it didn't make a whole lot of sense to us.
That's all right.
But, yeah.
So it definitely, so league play made me realize that I need to do some research. I need to go through Brendal.
Yeah.
I need to jump in there because they do a lot of the tactics and how to play.
Mm-hmm.
I got to find some stuff on how to play Zor.
Brendal is a good place to start. Even they have even just kind of general tactics.
Yeah.
They have, you know, the name has escaped me, but basically like maps and setups for like this is how you play that would make Lombardi blush.
Yeah.
I don't actually sports play terms. Football.
Sports terms. Yeah. It's okay. Playbook.
Playbook. Yeah. That's what I was trying to say. But yeah, the Brendal guys, they're another member of this community.
Yes.
That like to make really creative and cool things. Such as last time we had mentioned their 3v3 like street ball game system that they've been playing around with. Recently, just this last week, they posted another update on that.
Yeah, team building, on how building. You have to have the Dreadball Extreme.
I think the Extreme set helps. For the
team building list that he did.
Yeah.
But he breaks it down into why he took the three models that he took.
Yeah.
I thought that's a great tool.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely we need to get a 3v3 game going.
Yeah.
But I think we have something a little bit more important coming up first.
Yeah, so speaking of League. So December 14th, the Michigan Mantic community is hosting the Mantic Snow Bowl.
Is that what it was, the Snow Bowl?
Yeah, the Michigan Snow Bowl, Michigan Mantic Snow Bowl.
And that's going to be League in a Day, right?
League in a Day, yep. So it's December 14th. We're going to have it in at Evolution Games. In Lansing, Michigan.
Awesome.
And so if you haven't played League in a Day, it's a really fun time. The whole concept is everyone gets, you know, comes with a starter team of some point value. You can decide if it's if it's tournament level or just the base 1,000 points or 1,000 MC. And basically you do a whole little bracket system where you play against each other. You rank up right then and there. You run about four games throughout a day, and then kind of by the end, you can, you know, basically it's like a tournament, but with the League upgrades and stats.
Now, is there anything left out of the regular League stuff for a League in a Day?
Not really. Like the big thing about it is it helps. If you're familiar or have at least one player who's familiar with how to do the scoring system and sure. increase in stats, it does take a little bit longer than a typical Dreadball tournament because of that reason. There's just a little bit more management. But in the grand scheme, it's you're playing Dreadball. You've got your stat increases and experience as you go, and you just keep track of that. And by the end, you know, you could be facing the same opponent again, maybe,
sure.
By the end, depending on how many players you got. But you come back, and by the end, you have, like, a team that's weathered and experienced. and it lets you, like, have a little taste of what the League plays like and what those extra abilities that you can kind of unlock go towards.
Awesome. So the great thing also is, like, you have a ton of teams.
I've got quite a few teams at this point.
I've got a couple teams. But Jeff is coming down.
Yes.
I think Jeff is the reason why we're doing this to begin with.
there was part of that where he just kind of hit me
you
up.
You guys doing anything?
I thought you guys were saying you're going to do something in December. And we're like, I guess we are now.
But with him coming down, he has all the teams.
All the teams.
That Do you think League of the Day is something for a new player?
I think it can be a really fun time for a new player. It has that extra little bit of tracking. You know, sure. There's a little bit of homework that goes with it. But, you know, there's some reference cards that are out there that you can maybe just snapshot.
They're done by Breddol, aren't they?
Breddol makes some really nice card-based ones that we actually use. But the scorecard itself, I believe, can be found in the book somewhere.
Okay.
The I don't have it in front of me, so the page escapes me.
Sure.
But it just has a little bit of that record keeping that you got to do. But in the grand scheme, it's still your typical dread ball. And you can keep it simple for new players. Maybe you're not, you know, having them look into getting abilities and stuff. Maybe you just kind of have them focus on upgrading stats. There are a lot of solid teams that are light on abilities that I find are really good beginning teams, like the Yindage team.
Okay.
Is rock solid. Like they're a competitive team and they have no abilities. They just have really good stats to work with. So I really like playing League in a Day, and if I'm remembering correctly, I think my like third game was League in a Night.
Oh yeah, League in a Night.
League in a Night at Adepticon. So they at some of these big events, they'll host a little tournament.
Sure.
For that kind of thing. So if you get a chance, check it out at those tournaments. Otherwise, if you get a chance to just grab like, you know, four or six, hopefully an even number of people to just kind of, you know, take an afternoon or a day to kind of sit down, play a couple games, kind of plan about a couple, like a 2 hours, maybe.
Yeah, about 2 hours for that first game for all new players.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really good for somebody to have the, what's it called, the Galaxy expansion?
Yeah, so there's the...
Galactic.
The Azure Forest Galactic Tour expansion.
As I'm looking over here at the box. Going,
upside down.
That's what it is.
Yeah, so that has a lot of some of the event stuff that can also be fun to play with.
Yeah.
And some other little goodies and things like cheerleaders and coaching assistants, yes, and stuff like that.
And its book has a little bit more in-depth league plays.
That one has, I think it focuses on the Azure Forest, but I think there is also the league right handbook is in there. So if you don't have the big collector's edition Dreadball book, which I won't lie, I do kind of recommend because it's a really good book. It's worth it.
All the teams in it.
It's got all the teams in it. It's got the most up-to-date rules and stuff like that. And the league section is in there as well, as also Dreadball Ultimate. Like, it's all contained within that one book. And it has the two reference sheets.
Dreadball Ultimate is my favorite.
Dreadball Ultimate is so much fun.
There's just something about that whole, it's you and all your friends playing the same game,
mm-hmm,
but you're super competitive.
What? You competitive, Rick?
I'm not competitive at all.
But yeah, so we have that event coming up, League in a Day, the Michigan Mantic Snow Bowl. So we'll see if we throw in some winter-themed goodies into that as well. For our last section, to kind of bring us back to Star Saga. So we talked a little bit about the map card-based generation,
yeah,
which is a fun thing to talk about. But we've been starting our little project.
We officially started our misadventures of Orion Kovach and Keen Healy.
Yes, those are the mercenaries that we put together.
Yes.
We'll go more into detail about their equipment, stats, and all that,
yep,
kind of fun stuff in that actual section. We're looking to do a little kind of show of the adventures as we kind of experience and play through them.
Yeah, so we went through the first mission.
Yep, mission one.
Mission one, not A, B, and C.
Yep.
So a couple things that we did different mm-hmm. that aren't part of the rules system. Like, I guess it'd be house rules.
Yeah.
We do our activation slightly different. We do the, you have two activations. Not two activations, but you have two.
You can split up your move and your action, yeah. basically. So I know that's something like an equipment card, I think. Yeah. Or an ability, a skill that something you can unlock. Something allows you to do that. Can do it. But it was,
speeds up the game.
It speeds up the game in a lot of ways. And it really helps when there's just kind of the two of us.
Yeah. So in the first mission, you're supposed to have four mercs.
Mm-hmm.
We went at it with two.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's cheating.
I don't think so.
I don't think it really matters. Because it's how we play the game and it's about yeah. having fun. We went with the both. We both got... Two activations.
It's kind of like I think Imperial Assault has like Star Wars Imperial Assault has a very similar mechanic where it's like, okay, you guys have a number of activations that you can split them up.
Yeah.
And you know, in our case, it's like, well, that means we have four activations. We can just have us repeat.
And there's a couple characters. Times I think it was a really good thing we were doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, if we only had two activations, it would have taken us a very long time yeah. to get stuff done.
Yeah. One of the things that it also... So we've played through Mission 1 multiple times.
Yeah.
So we did 6 weeks of demos for Star Saga when it first came out. Remember mm-hmm. that?
I remember that.
Multiple people coming in, stepping in, and just, but we played that first mission.
We played that first mission so many times.
So we knew exactly where we needed to go.
Yeah.
We're on the board, and I know you looked at the same spot I did.
Yeah.
And sure enough, whoop, we went the opposite way.
We took the long way around just like naturally.
It just kind of happened.
And I think a big part of it was we were just following where the bad guys were popping up. So I was just like, well, he's over there, so I'm going that way.
Going that way.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It moved at a really good clip when we were doing yes. this kind of house rule on the activations and being able to switch the move and the action. And our guys are just a little extra powered.
They are.
We had basically like with those four characters, there is basically a point level system. They kind of yeah. expect you to have. And so what we did is
way under that.
We were
we were almost half of it.
We were still under that by a good margin after we like got some extra equipment to yeah, kind of supplement that. We went shopping after doing character creation
yep.
for that mission. And I do think it helped shore up some stuff for us.
Yeah, and it helped move the game along.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't that stagnation where you had...
Like, my character didn't originally have a gun at all.
No!
So I would have no ranged attack.
Yeah.
But that's the fun thing with Rins is that they can do
two
attacks. And
that first time you did it, we went around that corner, and you're like, I'm going to attack this guy. So I roll the defense for the guy and kill him.
Yep.
And then you're like, okay, I'm going to shoot that guy. I'm like, wait, I get to go. And he's like, no. I'm a man. I have an extra hand.
I've got extra arms.
Pop, pop. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'm going to stand back here by the computer.
Granted, I barely managed to do any damage with those second attacks, but...
It's all right. We survived.
We survived. We took some hits, though. Like
We did.
We didn't breeze through this thing.
You know what? That's the really cool thing. It's like, you actually... When you're looking at your health, you really only have a very small amount of health.
I only have like 3 or 4 hits before I'm injured and am slowed and are taking penalties.
I have one less health than you do.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I think I got 4 and I think you have 3.
Yeah, something like that. But it's surprising because you look at, so the first mission you're fighting... Security guards and lab techs.
Yeah.
You look at their stats and it's kind of like, okay. But they get some lucky swings in there.
Yeah.
Very dangerous.
Yeah, the lab techs surprisingly did probably the most damage on all of them. They just kind of got too close.
Yeah.
And because we underestimated them. We won't let that happen ever again. Watch out for those cattle prods.
Yeah. cattle prods.
But no, it is fun to go through that mission. We managed to complete it. We're gonna be putting out a little bit of the show.
We recorded it.
We recorded it, yeah.
Which is funny because as we started recording, we were telling a little bit, but all of a sudden we kind of got into it and forgot it was recording.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited to hear what the editing process, which is all Brian, by the way.
it's like, I forget how long we played. It's like, it was two hours.
It was me and you. Yeah. It was like 2.5-3 hours.
It took a while. I'm going to try and condense that down.
The game doesn't take that long to play.
No. I'm going to try and condense it down to like a 15-minute, maybe half hour kind of little mini show.
Yeah, and we're going to put that out like maybe mid-month.
Yeah, we're going to...
At some point.
It's going to take me a little bit to edit those a little bit longer. But the goal is to kind of have a couple of them ready to go. And we're going to keep going through the Arius contract.
Yes. And see what it ends at.
Yeah. I'm excited for the next mission.
I'm not. I have a feeling I'm not the stealthy one in this group.
No. I love the stealth mechanics in this game.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
And after the mission, on the next recording, we'll talk a little bit more about that stealth feature. Because there's definitely some features as you're going in the game that change things.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have that introduction of breaking scenery.
Mm-hmm.
Which in that first mission, you immediately get exposed to that because you have to break down a wall.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an awesome feature in the game where it's not just you open the door and you go through.
Mm-hmm.
No, sometimes you actually got to break something down
to
get it. But then, our next mission, we have the stealth feature.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of fun. I suck at it. So I'm just going to hang out at the computer.
Yeah.
I'll open all the doors in that area for you. And you sneak around, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
I can do that. And, So... I'm going to be like with that, just to kind of tease it a little bit. We're going to insert a little clip from that recording right here. All right. So, I've cleared this room except for LabTech. So, I've cleared this room. Artificial Nexus play as a bonus activation.
Oh, okay. So, I have three activation. Somebody has three activations.
The Nexus has three activations.
So the first activation has to be the closest guy.
All right. So
that's going to be her moving into you.
That's that lab tech coming at me with a candle project. Yeah!
Yeah, well, you know.
She's trying to protect the mountain.
She's trying to protect the desk.
Yep.
With a regular. I mean, you could... Oh!
All right, so... I'm going to use a force shield to make you reroll a single closest assault dice.
Okay. It's still a damage.
I mean...
I shouldn't be laughing. I'm on your team.
You technically bumped up that one.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Okay. Nice try. I take a hit. The camel prod got me.
You were so preoccupied with taking out the security guards.
Keen, she stabbed
you didn't
me.
See her.
I didn't
she stabbed me, Keen.
She stabbed me. With the sword. How weird is that? Boy, wasn't that a fun time.
You know, it's funny because I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
I didn't remember that part.
It all kind of happened in a blur.
It kind of did. So, and we promise, guys, we're actually going to have some more Star Saga information out there.
Mm-hmm.
But for right now, it's pretty much going to focus on our misadventures.
Yeah.
Just because I think it's a great way for you guys to see the game.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's watching this.
I love radio.
To experience the game through us playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get the pieces, we'll give you guys some snippets here and there.
Mm-hmm. We'll have some pictures of the show like from yeah. when we played and whatnot.
Yep.
We'll try and capture and do our social media business.
Social media.
As
speaking of social media.
Yeah.
So we're also now officially on Instagram.
Woohoo!
So you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram. You can jump on Podbean.
Yeah.
To listen to us.
Listen to the show on Podbean or other places that podcasts are heard.
That's true. And also Twitter.
Yep.
And presently we're still active over on the Discord.
Mm-hmm.
Right now those are the best ways to...
And also just kind of on a social media point, for those of you that were contributing to the Patreon, we did kind of want to mention... That was getting shut down. That was something that was supporting Rob and Jack and their
correct.
Their contribution. They've set us up really well and in a good position for this. So at this time, we are not running another Patreon to support the show. We're kind of all right currently for where now. We are for now. That may change in the future, and if people are really liking the show, maybe we can. Start another one up to really kind of help improve things like our
mic,
our microphone and some of the editing software and just, you know, being able to do more stuff.
Yeah. Even being able to get like better shots.
Yeah.
Don't do that. I just updated.
Stare up at the light.
I updated the lighting in the bunker and holy crap, that's really bright.
It is really bright. But doing things like going out and maybe doing like live shows at tournaments or things like that, or interviewing some of the other big wigs in the industry.
Yeah, whatnot. The superstars.
There's a lot of them out there, and they're a lot of fun people. And so if we can,
awesome people.
They're awesome people. And if we can, bring you a little closer to them in some way, that'd be a really fun thing to do. So. Did want to kind of clear that up because I know a couple of people okay. asked us about that Patreon. So
yeah. Good to know. I think with that, I think we'll call it a night.
I think we'll call it a night.
So you've been listening to Dead Zone the Podcast 2.0.
You have
that's
been,
our exit?
That yes. Okay, you have exit. Been listening to Dead Zone the Podcast 2.0.
With Brian and Rick.
With Brian and Rick or Rick and Brian. And Brian.
Have a good night, guys.
Have a good night, everybody. All right, so now we're going to be talking for like 2 hours after the show is done about stuff that we want to do. If you listeners like to talk about your gaming for hours on end after you're done playing, send us a message. Stand in the parking lot. That's a very important step. Because that way you have left the premises of the store so that they can close and go home.
You already kept them open an extra hour.
Yeah. And you know, there's a little bit of incentive, especially this time of year, to like leave because it's cold outside.
Yeah.
And you should be getting home. So to your friends, your family, your loved ones, your cat, your dog, pet fish.
Did you know, not record
your leftovers.